Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. It is Tuesday. Jimmy just got off an airplane, so that shows you how dedicated he is to all you guys. Gotta give the guy a bit of a salute if you ever see him. I would do that. I do that. That's a joke. Having said that, let's talk a little bit about the quality of the upper echelon Republicans, and let's use John Boehner as an example, Jim.
Okay, yeah, so this is a good one.
Yeah.
John Boehner, former Republican Speaker of the House, most powerful Republican out there for a long time, under the Bush administration and under the Obama administration for a while.
Yeah.
He resigned under pressure. What we see this week, actually, he resigned. I don't know if he resigned under pressure, but he probably resigned to go make more money.
Yeah.
Because when he left his congressional seat and that very powerful position of Speaker of the House, the second, right below the vice president in a case of, an emergency, the president of the United States.
You bet.
He began as a Republican lobbying for the marijuana industry and advocating for legalization of marijuana.
Yeah.
So obviously he was going for money, using his influence. But what is really hilarious is when they unveiled a portrait for Nancy Pelosi yesterday, he cried over it and was so thankful. So Nancy Pelosi, the most damaging and most powerful Democrat probably ever in American history to run the House, the most progressive, in my view, destructive to budgets, destructive to the border, destructive to, just common sense and decency with children in schools. Boehner cries.
Yeah.
And, to me, is it a perfect example of this uniparty of senior members of both parties that kind of live in this world inside the Beltway and have lost touch with all of America? And I think it's beginning to come back, which is why you're seeing the chairman of the RNC right now, Ronna McDaniel, Mitt Romney's niece, who Mitt Romney has been no friend to Republican ideologies anytime soon, but Ronna McDaniel is being pressured to withdraw from or to back out of the Republican leadership position for the party. There was a great article. I don't know if you saw it, Al, actually, I think Red State did it.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that article?
No, I did not see that. I don't read Red State.
Okay, well, it popped up on numerous outlets, actually.
Okay.
The Republican Party senior leadership spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on private jets, on all kinds of fancy dinners, on really, really embarrassingly high expenses, living it up.
Really switching your allegiance here just a bit, Jim, pointing out the shortfalls. And they're not shortfalls, in my opinion. They're long falls. Huge mistakes.
I've never supported corruption in any party. And I really don't support people that grift off, donations and use it for their own personal interests. And so what has to happen, in my view, is those people need to be purged. Those type of ideologues that have lost touch with Americans, lost touch with what Republican basic standards are, which are basically fiscal conservatism, socially conservative. Certain things you want to let people live and let them alone, but let's don't destroy our children.
Yeah.
Let's don't mutilate them through, surgeries because of, some false statements on what the damage is. And bottom line is there's so many Republicans at the senior leadership level that are afraid of the people that actually they take money from.
Yeah.
The Republicans, the America First, Make America Great Again, the MAGA people.
Yeah.
They're so afraid of them. They have to walk this tightrope, this balance. But at the same time, they're very, concerned about getting reelected, about how much money they're going to get from which big donors, and bowing to those donors' interests. And I think it has to change. And that all of Washington has to change. It's not just Republicans. It's the people in the inside that have lost touch with what the needs of American citizens are.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do about it, Jim? Here we are at roughly 9:45 on a Thursday morning on the West Coast. What are we going to do about it? Just vote them out of office?
Well, I think there's a, you know, one is stop. If the donations stop, then they realize, oh, wow, we've made a mistake, right?
Yeah.
That helps. I'll be honest, this cycle, I didn't donate anything. I've got probably 25 or 30 emails a day from Republican, you know, fundraising efforts.
Yeah.
And I didn't donate at all. I've done my part at the local level, and I think that's where it all depends. And this is how we can actually deal with this, is and how we have to deal with it. It has to be grassroots. It has to be at your local level, and you have to find candidates and people that are standing on those basic principles and values. And you can't let them stay too long, because then they eventually get jaded, believe they know better than everyone else. And then they're worried about their reelection. You need to find people that are going to stand up and say, you know what? We can't just keep spending money we don't have.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do it at my
house.
That's
been a problem for a long, long time in America. Jimmy, we've talked a lot about the Republicans. I get about as many requests for money from the Republican Party as you do. And the majority of them, interestingly enough, come from the Trump organization.
Well, see, that's a total lie. That is what it is the Republican National Committee using Trump as a foundation for donors.
Yeah.
So they have used his name, and multiple these political action committees, they use his name, but it's not actually directly going to Trump. And if you look at the fine print and you actually kind of track back, most of these are organizations that are using Trump as a fundraising tool, but it's not Trump, nor is it his organization.
We talked about that before. That's something that people have to be aware of in light of the conversation that we're having right now. Having said that, Jimmy, what else do you want to talk about? We've gone about 7 minutes.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think this is an important issue. Another one is, I think we talked a little bit of off mic on, is what Ron DeSantis is doing about the vaccines.
Right.
His Secretary of Health for the state of Florida is putting together a coalition of very well-respected, very educated, professional people in immunology, epidemiology, and cardiology, and medicine in general, and health policies, and evaluating, going through a process to evaluate whether or not these vaccines are good or bad. And they've come back and said, hey, look, stop giving them to young males. That's the guidance out of the Florida Health Department. And that's based on studies that they've seen and that have been basically hidden from the public view.
Yeah.
So Florida is pushing very strongly. Ron DeSantis is doing that. And as well, he's reaching out to other governors and other state health officials to go through the same process. And basically, they want to open the books, open up the information, and allow people to take, you know, a good, deep, hard look at the facts and make their own decisions based on the facts. And I think that's the most important thing right now that we can do, that is demanding from our leaders transparency, both in the COVID issue, but also in border issue.
Yeah.
Transparency. And this is why it's so important to have a leader in the Republican House that is going to investigate the DOJ and the FBI's involvement in political actions. That's essential. If we don't do that, you're going to continue to have these kind of rogue law enforcement agencies undermining everybody's vote in America.
Well, you really have to wonder, when you look at the direction that McConnell is going in and some of the other big wigs, for lack of better terms, you really have to kind of wonder if the Republicans as a party, as an organized party, are going to take that step. I kind of doubt it.
Well, I think they're going to be forced to, because so many of their constituents are fed up with them and what's happening. So the Department of Justice, and we've talked a little bit about this before, but Department of Justice and the FBI getting directly involved in silencing information, you know, Hunter Biden, that type of thing, actually contributing and perpetuating and leaking information that was false on the Russia collusion thing that took the country, that locked the country up in the Trump administration up for 2.5-3 years. Using the Ukrainian phone call, which was absolute bizarre. And then, of course, continuing to use this January 6th thing as some sort of an insurrection against democracy, blah, blah, blah. All that is critical. But the essential element here is highlighting these failures by federal agencies, their involvement with canceling and silencing open dialogue and speech on tech platforms, working with tech platforms to do exactly that, to silence differing opinions, but then most importantly, to go directly after the media and the editors that have been working in conjunction with government officials to censor and target people based on political agendas. That has to be done. And if it isn't done, then the Republican Party will divide, because there are two, and it will split, and it will be a long time before it recovers from it. Those things have to be done by this House in the next 2 years. If they don't do it, people are going to be so frustrated. They won't vote. They won't even get involved because they're just fed up with it.
Jimmy, I want to ask you a question. You know, you're very active in the Republican Party. You were named the Republican of the Year in Whatcom County a couple of years ago, which I applaud you for. You're going to meeting after meeting after meeting within the party, living back in South Carolina. Is the party getting anywhere from what you can personally see?
Yeah, so this is what's happening, and this is a movement that started in 2015, 2016. Yeah. Basically, a lot of people want. I would say the vast majority of Americans on both sides of the aisle want term limits. A lot of them want transparency. Americans want transparency. Americans want to stay on top. They want a secure border. They want law enforcement and crime to diminish. They want an economy that actually benefits them and doesn't take away from them. So there's a growing push inside the Republican Party, a growing effort to push out these old ideologues. And I'll just say they're grifters, they're old, they're elitist, they're country club Republicans, and they think they know better than others. But I see it, actually, there's a lot of very big efforts to push those people out. And I don't know how it's going to turn out, but they push out the elitists, the old school people, the never Trumpers, if you will. And it's not really just about Trump. It's about power. They, like the Democrats, are definitely afraid of the population. And they're afraid of Trump represented the people.
Yeah.
That was his goal. Whether you liked him, you hated him, whether you hated his tweets, everything else, his goal was to change the dynamic in Washington.
Yeah.
He didn't realize how powerful and how corrupt it was within the Republican Party as well. So this is a big fight. I see movement on that. I actually see, and I'll just be straight up, there are meetings all through the state of South Carolina with MAGA, quote, MAGA Republicans or America First Republicans that are coordinating and planning to take over the very rhino-esque Republican Party in South Carolina. And this is a hard R state.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. How do they plan to do that? I mean, that's a pretty strong statement, Jim.
At the very local level, the methodology is to, a lot of people don't understand how the election system works or how the parties work. But there's districts, and inside those districts, there's precincts. And those precincts have party members that have authority that are elected into those positions to vote for the leadership within the party. Now, the leadership in the South Carolina party is definitely never Trump, a guy named McKissick, Drew McKissick. And actually at the local level, the people, they're not uncomfortable with him, right? And you see the pressure from the media that are turning people in the same way, right? So that's happening. But the people that are actually loyal to the Constitution, that have been fighting for the same principles that, whether you know you like Trump or not, the principles that he stood for and the method that he, you know, what he did for the nation was very good in 4 years. So they are organizing, coordinating to get people to be elected into positions so they can vote out the senior leadership of the party and move more towards America First candidates. At the same time, they have Freedom Caucus in the state legislature in South Carolina, just like the one in the Congress, that is very focused on those same principles. And they're putting more and more pressure on the kind of like moderate and non, you know, committed, whatever it takes to compromise.
Yeah.
I'll call the Surrender Caucus Republicans, you know, the Never Trump Surrender Caucus, and grifters, you know, that just feed off it. Put an R behind their name and get elected in South Carolina.
Well, I think what's going to happen, I think you're going to see some real, real interesting sparring starting in about a year from now. We're still 2 years away from the election, roughly, and the main election, and I don't see a lot of enthusiasm in terms of getting ready for that election at this point in time from anybody other than perhaps Trump on the one hand and DeSantis on the other hand. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, just
about
remember,
a year before November of 2024.
Yeah, but just remember, Ron DeSantis is not committed to run, right?
No.
So this is all speculation at this point. The only person that's actually put their hat in the ring right now is Donald Trump. And the only person on the Democratic Party that has even a hope is Joe Biden.
Right.
But we know his capacity. We know that's a guaranteed failure. However, you are seeing right and left say, oh, Joe Biden could beat Trump again. Trump could never win again.
Yeah.
Now, Trump makes some mistakes. You know, this thing that he did today, I'm kind of perplexed. I have to look more into it. But apparently, yesterday he announced that something special was going to come up. And then today he said, hey, we're going to start selling non-fungible tokens of like, superhero characters of Trump. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'm sure it's a fundraising tool.
Of course
I'm sure it's trying to appeal to the, millennials at some point. But it appears to be falling into, hey, this is just to make money, to make fundraising, which, of course, you've got to have fundraising to win a campaign. But remember, Donald Trump in 2016 in the primary spent his own money to win the Republican nomination, out of pocket, $35 million.
Right.
Against all odds and against, Jeb Bush spent $125 million and didn't make it past South Carolina.
Yeah.
So I don't think the advisors or the people that are attempting to do something with these fundraising events, the kind of the institutional Republican consultants, I think they're a disaster. I think they cost the election for the Republicans in this midterms, and they cost them in 2020. They've cost them for many, many years because they're just corrupt. They look at things from the DC view and they come out and say, oh, we'll do it this way. I think that's a huge mistake. And I don't know exactly what's going on with the Trump campaign, but really, that's the only guy that stepped out. And if he doesn't participate, and this is what everyone has to realize, if somehow he's axed out of it, there is a certain core amount of supporters that weren't Republicans, that didn't identify with politics at all, but supported him for putting America first, supported him for bringing manufacturing back to the U.S., supported him for closing the border. If they don't see movement by someone else, they just won't vote. And that means the Republicans are going to lose.
Yeah. Well, the
but
one comment,
the time,
go ahead. Then I want to wrap it up.
Yeah. The same time, this fight is going on in the Democratic Party very strongly as well between the aggressive progressives and the more moderate Democrats. The difference is the media attacks the right continually. You don't see it on the left because the media just kind of covers it up, and they're actually participating in it and facilitating.
I want to say one thing to close this up because we got some more recording we have to do. But the way I'd like to wrap this up is I got to tell you, I was absolutely amazed in the November, the recent elections, that the Republicans didn't win everything by a landslide because of the way things are going. And that shows the effectiveness of the Democratic organization and the ineffectiveness of the Republican organization. Final word, Jim.
The places Democrats kept it close, and why the only way that it stayed close and they actually undermined what was happening,
yeah,
was in areas that have mail-in balloting and lax efforts and controlled by Democrat major urban areas.
Yeah. Well, they did really well. The Democrats are masterful politicians. There's no question about that.
Or cheaters.
It's kind of like a football game. You either win or you lose.
If you control the investigative authorities and they don't come after you to take a look at it. And this was Bill Barr in 2020.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, there's nothing wrong here. Because his political agenda was, all right, I want to keep it the same in D.C.
Okay, well, let's kind of hold our breaths here. Let's see what happens in the next year. Within a year, we're going to be in the throes of the campaign. You guys, I would just want to make one comment about your comments yesterday. I went to your comments last night. There were about a dozen or so of them. They were absolutely brilliant, and I put that opinion in writing at the bottom of the comments. You guys are doing great. I love you all. Thank you.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.